He's on his way. Okay. Well, we have a closed session announcement on Monday, March 1st, 2004, after meeting in closed session regarding conference with labor negotiator. Agency negotiator was the executive director, unrepresented employee, economic development coordinator. The agency reconvened into open session and announced there were no reportable actions taken in the closed session. The improvement agency meeting was then adjourned. Next, we have public comments. Anyone in the audience may address the City Council Improvement Agency for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item that is not on the agenda. The City Council Improvement Agency will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the City Council and agency cannot act on items not on the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to address the council and agency? Okay, seeing none, I will bring this back. The agency is going to recess into a closed session. We will be dealing with conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. Agency negotiator is the executive director. The unrepresented employee is economic development coordinator. We will be returning at 6:30, the regular meeting of the City Council. Thank you. Order. Are we good? Thank you. We'd like to call the order to Grover Beach. You guys want to remain standing? We good? Can you hear me now?
No, it just records.
Okay. Tonight we have with us during the flag salute is Andrew Vanderplas. He's an 11-year-old sixth grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School. His favorite subject is math because he likes figuring out new things, and in math each problem is different, and that makes it fun. He has been a student at Grover Beach Elementary School since he was in kindergarten, and he really loves his school. He participates in Friday Night Live and lots of other things. He was once chosen to read an essay at the district board meeting. The essay was about what makes a good American job. He also plays soccer and rides a scooter around the city. He thinks Grover Beach is a cool place to live, and it is fun to live so close to the ocean, and the cool weather is great. It was kind of warm today, wasn't it? So would you like to lead us in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before you leave, we have something to give you.
This is just a certificate of our appreciation, Andrew, for leading us in the prayer. We'll give you a certificate. And also, we have some goodies for you. All right.
Good job.
Take
the number of hands.
Good job. Good job. Great job.
Nice to meet you. Good job.
Okay, that's working. I can definitely hear that. I'd like to take a moment to just thank everyone who is here with us this evening. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here and contribute in the discussion in the city of Grover Beach. And for those who were not able to make and who are viewing at home, we appreciate you tuning in to see what's going on in your community. And Chief Bradbury and Doug Camp, who's our interim fire chief, thank you. Closed session announcements. On Monday, March 1st, after meeting in the closed session regarding, and there were two items that were considered, conference with labor negotiator, agency negotiator with the city manager, administrative services director, and or human resources coordinator. The employee groups were all represented and unrepresented employee groups. The second item was conference with real property negotiators, property, a portion of assessor's parcel number 060-242-039, and specifically, looks like parcel map 693. Agency negotiator was the city manager. Negotiating properties is at LaRoche. Land company under negotiation is acquisition of property. The third item was a conference with legal counsel pending litigation, Santa Maria Water, Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria et al. And related cross actions. Santa Clara Superior Court case number CV770214. Boy, this is long-winded. The council reconvened into public session. No reportable actions were taken in closed session, and the city council meeting was then adjourned. We're gonna now move on to our ceremonial calendar. What do we got here? First item on our calendar is proclamation declaring Absolutely Incredible Kid Day on Thursday, March 18th, 2004. And then we will move into new employee introductions. And it looks like we're gonna be presenting a proclamation to Joey Hughes, Executive Director of Campfire Council of the Central Coast. So if you can come up.
I don't see Joey here.
No? Oh. Well, it's a very nice proclamation from the Grover Beach City Council designating March 18th, 2004 as Absolutely Incredible Kid Day. And so we will hold that for Joey Hughes and the Campfire Council of Central Coast. We have now introduction of new employees. Mr. Raper, would you please approach the podium?
Mayor Pro Tem and members of the council, it gives me great pleasure tonight to introduce two new employees in the Community Development Department. I'd like to have both come up here. To your right, to my left, is Janet Reese. She is our new building/planning technician. And Julie Hawkins, she is our new assistant planner. Both employees started on the same day, which was March 1st, 2004. So we wish to thank you as a city council for providing these resources and the ability to hire such two qualified candidates for this organization. I believe that brought some new spirit to the department, and they certainly bring badly needed staff support on a full-time basis. So we're very, very happy to have both of you here tonight and tomorrow and the next day and in the future. If you would like for them to give you a little bit of background about themselves,
congratulations. Well,
welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me also. I am finishing up my master's degree in planning with Cal Poly and hope to go full-time here in about 2 weeks when that's through. And I am very excited to start my career in planning with Grover Beach.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Welcome aboard.
Mm-hmm.
again, while they're doing that, I just want to say that both of them have been absolutely incredible. They just jumped in there, and they're doing staff work and doing research and answering questions, and they're just really super folks. Very pleased to have them.
Was that all you had, Jake?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Next, we'll move into presentations. This item is Grover Beach Police Department's 2003 annual report from Chief Bradbury.
Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council, and guests, it's a real pleasure to bring the annual report to you this year. It was a great year for the Grover Beach Police Department. I believe a great year for the community. It was a great year for all of us. Unfortunately, we didn't have the skill to put up on the board the photograph that's on the cover, but I'll show that to everyone. Because to me, our police department and our volunteers, all of our employees, they're the ones that make it happen. So, first page in the annual report. Go ahead. And a vision for service, our goals, our values. This put in the police department in all of our walk-ins. It's talked about. It's also in the front of our annual report. We'll go on to the next one. This is the chief's message. If you can't tell, I'm pretty proud of the year that we had. If you look at this, these were our goals. Increased traffic control activities. We did that by 71%. Reduced traffic collisions. We did that by 13%. We maintained full staffing within the department. This was achieved at the field level and at dispatch, not in the supervisory ranks. And we were prepared for reduced financial support, and we did this by staying within our budget. You look at what happened with full staffing at the field level. Our DUI arrests were up 43%. Our under the influence of drugs arrests up 566%. We increased our 72-hour vehicle enforcement by 8% and increased respect within the community and the police department. The biggest way we did that increased respect within the police department was a team-building exercise that we had in Cambria, where we took 10 of our supervisors, and we went for 2.5 days, and that was the best money that we've spent in a long time. We came back from that activity with renewed hope and the ability to really work with each other, even though we still continue to disagree in some areas.
Can I interrupt you with one question?
Sure.
Excuse
me?
Which we shall report back to.
Ah.
Thank you.
Actually, that's part of the next item, and Suzanne can explain what has been happening with regard to contacts with all the businesses in the downtown area and talking about the issue of parking and talking about the issue of enforcement, 72-hour parking, and the need for turnover or whether there is a need for turnover.
Okay, almost every statistic that one would want to go up did, except the and those that we wanted to go down did, the one exception being Part 1 crimes. Those are the ones that we report to the federal government. Part 1 crimes include arson, aggravated assault, burglary, robbery, theft, auto theft, rape, and homicides. These crimes increased by 3 last year. The increase was driven by more petty thefts, which is our number one crime in our community. Talk about that later. Key to the department's success was centered on filling vacant positions and the retention of tenured employees. Thanks to improved compensation by the City Council, only one tenured employee left last year. In addition, we found our ability to hire people was vastly improved with the improved salaries and benefits. In fact, we picked up at least one lateral from another department where they did the training for a change. The 3-year veteran, he comes to us, you know, having already been to traffic school and under the influence school, and what a bonus he was. It usually happens the other way. We do all the training, and after 3 or 4 years, they go somewhere else. I can get you to go to the next page. You know, because of all the training that went on and the new employees, even with that, we're starting to see the benefits of having a field force. We had a 566% increase in under the influence of drug arrests, 424% increase in radar citations, 38% increase in overall arrests. Another area that's a lot of interest to people are the 290s or the sex registrants in town. We spent a lot of time on that. We started the year, according to the California statistics, with 52 registrants. They really weren't here, but it's difficult to clean up state records sometimes. But by the time we were finished with that and going out and doing house checks twice on them at a minimum, we reduced that 52 to 21. Can't talk enough about our volunteer program, the Citizens Assistance Team, out and about. They came up with the idea last year of painting numbers on curves to make it easier for fire and emergency services to respond to locations. I figured that was a forever job, and they shocked me. They finished it in just over a year. More important, they did it with collecting funds from the community or equipment that was donated. Goals for the next year, still a hot point, traffic control activities, 72-hour enforcement, move to a full-time proactive code enforcement officer, research sharing of police services and activities in the South County. Get the next page. Group and the Code Enforcement Blue Ribbon Committee. Next. Here we are, Part 1, Crimes. And this is where 373. You can look at, up and down the list. If you look at the really serious crimes, those that people are afraid of, the violent felons, you know, aggravated assaults, we have 27. Most of those are either domestic violence or they're bar fights. Burglary, while it's not violent, it's a little higher than we'd like. Homicides, none. Robberies, 5. 4 of these are between people that know each other. 250 thefts, that's what's driving our the number of crimes that we have. Auto thefts, you can see they were down, and rapes at 3. The column on the far right is the number of crimes that we cleared in each of these areas. So we have an overall clearance rate of 43%. That means we captured someone or we filed on them. Citations near and dear. You can see that last year was the best year, I think, that this police department's ever had. Hazardous or moving type citations, the ones that are out there, running red lights, stop signs, 1406. You can go right down the line for a total of 3,190 citations. We towed 376 cars. That's got to be same as last year. 72-hour calls, you can see we spent a lot of time there. Next, radar sites, where the big improvement came. In order to write radar, you have to have 24 hours of training from COST, which is the training organization for police officers. You can see we sent most of our people to training for the 3 days and went from the numbers that you see in prior years, a low of 49 in 2001 to 566 last year. Next. What kind of citations do we write? You can see speeds, number 1, stop signs, number 2, seat belts, number 3. And the reason for this is I put a lot of emphasis on moving citations. You know, you go to the meetings, you hear it from the public, no one stops for a stop sign, everyone's running red lights. It's nice to go out and write seat belts, that's a worthy goal, but the goal last year was moving citations, and that's where we went. Next. Why do we write a lot of citations? In order to keep the public from talking back and thinking it's unsafe. The real reason is the more citations you write, it's supposed to be the fewer traffic accidents. And you can see last year, we went down from the year before. So we wrote a lot of tickets, and we got the reduction that we were looking for. Next. Our motorcycle program is of great interest to a lot of people, so we put down the different things that the motorcycle program does, what he does. whether it's child safety seats, inspections, public or whatever. Next. Through this end, a lot of people like to have budget figures, so we have budget figures from 01 through 04, and a breakdown where it was spent within the police department. Next. Special programs that we put on, 911 for kids, where we go out to the schools, traffic safety, officers at schools. Our officers spend a number of hours every month at the schools, saying hi, eating, reading books, or out there playing with the kids. A couple more.
Okay, thank you.
Next. We're real happy with our response time from on emergency calls from the time the first ring till we have someone at the house. 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Next. Miscellaneous information, use of force, pursuits, those kinds of activities. Next. And then we have a series of sections on different divisions within the department. Why don't you keep rolling? DARE, juvenile diversion, code enforcement activity, the grants, the activities of the citizen assistance team. Next. What they did, all the doors they checked, all the miles, all the hours they donated to the city. You can see that. Okay, next. All the schools we sent people to. Next. And that's it. Then there's another section, and I'm not going to pass up all the employees of the year, whether they be volunteers or sworn or non-sworn, then we have their pictures. Anyway, I wanted to take the time to talk. I'm really proud of the year that we have, and you ought to be really proud of your police department.
Well, Chief, don't leave yet, Chief. Thank you very much for a very thorough report. Does anyone have any questions of the Chief?
Nope. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Chief. The next item we've got is a presentation. We're asking for a status report on the West Grand Avenue Traffic Mitigation Project construction impacts, and we'll be having economic/organization development consultant Bragdon giving that report.
Suzanne. Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, Mayor. Due to the fact that I own a business within 300 feet of this proposed project, I must step down from this discussion or this presentation, so I'm stepping in.
Okay, I think everybody in the community who has driven along Grand Avenue knows that we are in full swing of our traffic calming project, which is very exciting. If things go well and the weather holds, we will have the project completed by the beginning of June, and that will include beautiful landscape medians and paved crosswalks between 9th and 10th on Grand. A new new signal on 10th and Grand and 11th and Grand, and replacement signals on 8th and 9th, and all four signals will be interconnected so that traffic flow will go smoothly. As part of the communication effort with businesses that will be impacted during the construction time, representatives of the contractors have been out, as well as the community development director and myself. One of the most significant impacts that will be occurring is that by the end of April through the end of the project, parking will be restricted. And because of this, there was some initial concerns about starting to enforce the two-hour parking limitations in the public parking lot behind the post office. Now, the intent of that initial enforcement effort was to ensure that we had proper turnover in the parking lot so that customers would be able to get into businesses and whatnot. However, at first blush, we found that there has not been a turnover issue per se, so that the enforcement effort one time, if there are any complaints of customers needing parking in that area, how many spaces are available, are there peak times where demand is greater than others, et cetera, and so forth, we'll collect all of that information and then make a determination of whether or not there is an issue where the enforcement of the two-hour restrictions for that lot should be put into place on a more permanent basis. So the purpose of the presentation tonight is twofold: get you up to speed on the traffic calming project and to also point out the additional research that we're doing regarding the parking lot behind the post office. And so if there are any questions, we are available.
Thank you, Suzanne. Does anyone have any questions?
Appreciate the information. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I had one, Susan. In fact, congratulations on gathering this additional information, because we all know that it was our intention to help the businesses.
Correct.
With the parking issue there. And all the business owners are signing this petition to stop, and they're saying, don't help us. Government, stay away. And
yeah,
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, to date, all we're hearing in terms of peak traffic concerns in the parking lot is from 11 to 1, and so that's kind of what we'll be watching.
Cool. I think this should still pique our interest in doing some diagonal parking along Ramona there. That comes up occasionally, and that's an easy way to get a lot more parking right in that same area also. But good job.
Thank you.
Okay, what I'm going to do is, this is a presentation, but I'd like to know if there's anyone in the audience who would like to address this item. Okay, seeing that, I'm going to close and bring you back to the council, and we're just going to receive that report. Thank you, Suzanne. Next, we're moving on to public communications. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. Those items must not be scheduled on this agenda. Later? Okay, thank you. So anyway, the council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on any items not on the agenda. So is there anyone who would like to speak during public communication? Okay. That's moving on. Let's go to the consent agenda. Would anyone like to pull any items that are on the consent agenda?
Could we pull number 8, please?
Councilman Brownison, any items?
No.
Okay. I'd like to pull item 7. So we've pulled items 7 and 8. Can I get a motion on the remaining items?
Would move approval of items 5, 6, and 9.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilmember Arnolson with a second by Councilmember Lieberman. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. I pulled item number 7. Number 7 was architectural approval application number.
You need a roll call vote for number 9, I think, John.
Did we need a roll call?
Yes.
Okay. So can we get a roll call on item?
Decision to delete the second story roof deck within his 2-unit plan unit development. At the conclusion of the city council hearing, the city council approved the roof deck and deleted the condition as required by the planning commission. The inclusion of the roof deck included a requirement that the second story roof deck be recessed back 5 feet from all edges of the roof line to ensure privacy for adjoining properties. And that condition was applied to both units of the PUD. What's presented before the City Council is a resolution which reflects that action at the conclusion of your public hearing relating to the architectural review application that's presented here, application number 03-043. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to attempt to respond.
Does anyone have any questions of staff? Okay, seeing none. Would anyone in the audience like to speak to this issue? Okay, seeing no one wanting to speak on this, I'll bring this back to the council. Ron, you have anything on this?
No, sir.
Dave?
Nope.
Steve?
We didn't pull it.
My gosh. I wanted to pull this item for a separate vote because I did not support this item on the first at our last meeting, so I wanted to have a separate vote. And then once we get to that, I have a question for staff. So can I get a motion, please?
I move approval.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilman Ronson, seconded by Councilman Lieberman. I think we need a roll call vote.
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Eckvall?
Yes.
Mayor Scholz?
No. And I would also like to maybe ask staff, I'm sure you are aware we had a workshop dealing with viewshed protection ordinance. I was at the Planning Commission meeting, I think, last week. There have been a few more applications that have come up, and so we are really trying to find a way to give the commission some tools. So I wanted to get a status report on where staff is with the workshop, and based on the input from there, I have some other thoughts. So. But let's just do it now.
Mayor and members of the council, last Friday, we met with the consultant, Mr. Crawford, to discuss the results of the workshop. And he is preparing a revised ordinance highlighting those issues that were identified during the public workshop itself. So we're anticipating that that would be presented to the Planning Commission in April. For April or May, for the public hearing relating to the viewshed issue. We've been talking at staff level, and I need to verify with the city attorney if we can do this. He is preparing a resolution which would identify a development policy relating to second-story roof decks, which implements basically what the city council has done in the past and the Planning Commission, which identified
to ask if we could agendize, because this council has approved roof decks, and they've approved roof decks contingent upon them being located centrally on the roof, 5 feet back on all edges, not visible from the street, and some treatment to the exterior stairs. But it looks like you're addressing that right now. So
yes, we're attempting to do so, and we'll try to bring that forward.
Great. Thank you, Jack.
May I jump in?
Yes, you may.
I was going to wait for him to sit down.
Thanks, Jake. I was too fast for you. You're too slow.
If I could throw a couple things into the mix of the discussion,
sure.
We've obviously struggled with the roof deck issue, and it's great that staff's going to bring something back for us in May. A couple of other issues that have come to us, and these are concerns about canopies or umbrellas on top of the second story roof deck and what that may do, and I don't know if we can have a discussion as to a guideline along those types of features that may be added.
If City Council wishes a discussion, we can certainly provide that. And we can bring it back as part of the report and dialogue to the City Council. Whatever that outcome would be, it'd be a policy decision.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jake. Okay, moving on to item 8, I believe Councilmember Eckbaum requested that item be pulled.
I asked that to be pulled, and just item 8A, and I was wondering why you are requiring a 40-foot setback, a red zone setbacks on Farrell, and only a 20-foot on the 8B.
Okay. Before we proceed, if I may, Mayor, Council Members, on item 8B, any discussion or information? There has been a conflict identified for Council Member Donaldson.
Okay. Leave it at item 8A.
Okay,
why are we asking for a 40-foot red curb on each of those streets, Highland, Bark, and Griffin?
John Bradbury, Chief of Police, representing the Traffic Committee. The reason for that is the angle on Farrell. It's extremely difficult to make a left turn if you're coming northbound because the intersections aren't perpendicular to each other. So the intent was to make it easier to see traffic that's coming eastbound on Farrell. If you're trying to make a left turn off one of the streets south of Farrell, you go over to 9th and Ramona, that intersection's perpendicular, you can see, and the traffic committee must have felt 20 feet would have been enough. That answer your question?
That doesn't answer your question.
I'm astounded that those aren't perpendicular intersections. Now I have to go back and look.
No, if you Farrell slices across the city.
Right.
In fact, if the city manager was pointing it out, if you look at the map, here's Farrell. It's coming across.
Right.
Okay. That's why the intent.
We're losing an extra parking space in each one of those intersections because of that extra 20 feet. And
Yes, we are.
And you feel it's necessary?
Yes.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Okay.
Ron? I wanted to get in a little discussion on an item that really wasn't, that was in this report, but probably isn't part of the public preview that we're doing tonight. And that was and people without very good intent steal that mail, and they get a lot of information from them. They get credit card numbers and account numbers of their bank and stuff like that. And also incoming mail is the same information. And that was one of the things that we had a concern about, and one of the things that cluster boxes will really help protect, because they're a locked box that only the post office can get into and you can get into. And so this is just kind of a commercial and kind of an advertisement for people that may have some concerns out there, and maybe they can come to the city and maybe there's a way that we can do some of these cluster boxes. And it's something we really need to start thinking about as far as public, I mean, as far as our own personal safety these days. And anyway, just wanted to bring that up. And I will be abstaining from the second part of this item 8B also. At the same time, I'll be telling you about that. Great. Thank you, Ron, for your input. Anyone else have anything else? Steve? Okay. So we can I get a motion on item 8A?
I move approval of item 8.
Oops.
I'm sorry, yes. Let me open up to the public, and is there anyone who'd like to speak? Please state your name and address for the record.
Helen McIver, 355 North 6, Grover. I'm glad Councilman Arnoldson brought that up. I'm a member of the Tang Committee, and I don't know if you folks know that through our office in San Luis, we have had 3 identity cases already of 3 very elderly women, and stuff was taken out of their mailboxes, and the people that got some of the credit card applications put them, and they did it on the internet, believe it or not. The internet, they put the stuff in, their name, in the internet, had it come to her box, and went out and spent thousands of dollars before she ever caught it. So this is one of the reasons for getting probably the cluster boxes. Another thing, too, I parked in front of our mailbox. I looked in before I went in the house because I was coming right back out, and mail was there. Evidently, I had forgotten to get it. So I got a ticket from the post office. I now have one that I'll bring to our Tang meeting on the 24th, and it shows that they want a 30-foot, 15-feet red line, 15 feet past the mailboxes in order to maneuver their little vehicles. So I say let's talk about cluster boxes real seriously. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. Is there anyone else in the audience who'd like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing that, I'm going to bring it back to the City Council. With that, can I get a motion on item 8A?
I'll repeat my motion to move approval of item 8A, sub B.
Second.
That's right. We have a motion by Councilmember Ekbom and a second by Councilmember Arnoldson. Roll call, please.
Member Ekbom?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnoldson?
Yes.
Councilmember Lieberman?
Yes.
Mayor Schall?
Yes.
I think this is the item that is.
Yeah. He can use some exercise.
Public hearings, item 10, which is involving the 2004 Community Development Block Grant Program and recommendation for allocation to San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. I have here a note in my hand that says that staff is, we're recommending that this hearing be continued to a date certain, which is April 5th, 2004. This is due to a lack of a quorum this evening. Would you suggest we open the hearing, or?
As a result of certain council members having conflicts on certain items, you would not be able to consider at least one of these items before you. Therefore, staff recommends that the entire item is moved to a date certain, which would be April 5th, the next meeting. I think most advisable would, course of action would be to open the public hearing, do not take any testimony, and continue the public hearing to April 5th meeting.
Okay, I think I was following that. So we're going to open the public hearing, but we are not taking any testimony. I apologize for anyone who is here this evening. Mayor Santos is out ill this evening, so it is something that we can't really take action on. April 5th is the date we're looking at, and with that, can I get a motion?
Do we need a motion to table this?
To continue. And we need a motion to continue to a date certain, right? Yeah.
Are you sure there's a conflict in all these?
The ones we've identified.
The third one? Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we continue this item to a date certain, April 3rd. April 5th.
So that's April 5th, so that everyone understands that. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'd like to make a second. I'd like to echo your apologies for you folks that have made time out of your schedules to be here tonight. I'm sorry.
Why can't we hear testimony?
Because testimony items that are in conflict could not be heard by a quorum.
Hmm. Okay.
Sorry.
Wow. We need a roll call on that. Can we get a voice vote on that?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you for your time, April 5th. We're moving to item number 11, which is adoption of application and processing fee for adult business and police background investigation fee for employees and owners of adult businesses. Can we get a staff report, Mr. Raper?
Mayor, members of the council, tonight we're considering establishing a and reviewing the adult business permit application fee, as well as the police background investigation permit fee for adult businesses that may locate in the city of Grover Beach in the future. As the City Council is aware, on January 20th of 2004, the adult business ordinance was introduced, and the second reading of the ordinance occurred on February 2nd of 2004 and became effective March 2nd of 2004. As part of the ordinance, it provided an option for a collection of a permit fee identified to be $234 through the Maximus report. What we're recommending the City Council do tonight is to open the public hearing relating to the proposed fees, receive public testimony, and once you receive the public testimony, conclude and close the public hearing. And then what we would like to do, instead of actually adopting the fee tonight, is to direct staff to schedule the adoption of the adult business permit and police background check fee at the time the city amends the master fee schedule. That is anticipated to occur in, you know, I believe it was in June of 2004. So that's when we'll come back with all the fees to be presented to the City Council for adoption, and that way the effective date would occur on all fees at that point in time with the appropriate 60-day delay period. So anyway, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to respond to the council or anyone else who has questions on this proposal.
Thank you, Jake. Does anyone have any questions of staff?
Not at this time.
I had one.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Will all conditional use permits be $480?
No. And the reason, what the state law requires is that, well, let me back up one step. The Maximus study shows the unit cost, full recovery for a conditional use permit to be a little over $1,000. What I thought at the time that we advertised for this would be very similar in processing and time that a conditional use permit would occur, would require. In doing our own time motion study and including overhead, the fee came out to be about $480, and that's why we're recommending the fee. For adult business permit to be $480. Now, we can't charge any more, and we can charge less, but we can't charge more for processing the permit. Once we get a permit in, we can actually do track the time and the motion, the activity that would be required for a permit once it comes in. Until that time, these are estimates provided by staff looking at the ordinance and the processes required to be utilized in notification as well as processing the permit, verifying the information submitted as part of the application. Now, the Maximus report did a different time and motion study for a conditional use permit, and that was actually for a conditional use permit process that staff had identified their time, their activities, the public hearing notices, so on and so forth, required for a conditional use permit. That's why the full unit cost recovery is identified in our staff report tonight to be about $1,008.37. But keep in mind, different permit processes incur different times, different activities of staff. They're not universal, and so that's why we came up with a separate proposed permit fee for adult businesses.
Do you see this as being less than a conditional use permit for something else that comes across your counter?
Yes, sir. The adult business permit, as the council is aware, is we have specific criteria in which to judge a...
No comments. No comments. My gosh. Dave?
I appreciate the explanation there because I didn't want it to appear that we were giving a break to adult ordinance. If the maximum study says it's going to cost $1,000 to process it, I think it should be charged $1,000. So I understand that it's a simpler process, and I'm happy with their explanation.
Steve, you have anything?
No, I agree with what David's question was a great one. Being a ministerial action streamlines the process. So.
Yeah, and I would have to say that I'm in agreement with you, gentlemen. I think that was the questions that I had is, what's the difference between this and a conditional use permit, and are we giving these type of uses a break? And so it sounds like staff has done some time studies, and this is a fair number. I do have a question. So if we do find that it's taking more time to process these, you will come back to us and we will raise the fee accordingly, correct?
My intent would be is the first application we actually receive will track time and the effort that would take to verify our estimates. And if it is right in the ballpark, we would probably just report to the council what it is. If there's a significant more time involved, then we'll propose an amendment that reflects the time and effort required to process the permit.
Okay, great. Thank you. So it looks like the only thing we're doing on this is we're receiving the testimony. We've closed the public hearing, and we're going to direct staff to schedule the option of the adult business permit and police background check fee at the time the city amends the master fee schedule.
Yes.
So we don't need a motion, just a voice vote. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. Moving on to item number 12. This is an amendment to Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity for Beach Cities Cab Company, Inc. Staff report by City Manager Anderson.
Mayor, members of City Council, you'll recall that back in April of 2003, the Beach Cities Cab Company came to you to seek some adjustments in their rates. Subsequent to that time, they are now coming forward and asking that the council change just one of the rates that they have, and that would be the pickup rate, and they're asking to increase that from $2.50 to $3 based on the needs of their service in order to stay in business. So the council has a couple of alternatives. One would be to adopt a resolution authorizing the requested amendment to the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, or to modify the proposed amendment and adopt that as amended, or to deny the request. This is one of those kind of items where it's appropriate to seek public input, and I would suggest the council do that, and that the staff would recommend that you consider that and adopt a resolution authorizing the requested amendment.
Thank you, staff. Anyone have any questions of staff? But you guys are real talkative tonight. Steve, any comments on this?
Well, I mean, any time that we see a fee increase proposed for our cab agreements to service the folks in the community that need transportation that they can't provide for themselves, I'm concerned. The magnitude of this increase, although it doesn't seem unreasonable, these people have expenses that they need to cover, and I have no issues with this request.
Thank you. Councilmember Arnoldson, you have any comments?
No.
Councilmember Eckbaum.
I believe that this is making them comparable with the other existing cab services, so it's, it seems very reasonable to me.
Okay. Well, I agree with the comments that have been said. Can I get a motion on this item?
I'll do it.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt the resolution of the City Council of Grover Beach, number 0336, or amending resolution 0336 and granting a modification to the certificate of public convenience and necessity issued to Jeff Goldenberg, owner of Beach City's Cab Company.
I'll second.
We've got a motion by Councilmember Lieberman, a second by Councilmember Eckbaum. Roll call vote, please.
Excuse me, Councilmember Lieberman?
Yes.
Councilmember Eckbaum?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnoldson?
Yes.
Mayor Scholl?
Yes. Okay, we're moving on to regular business. This is item 13 on the agenda this evening. This is the Community Development Department Revenue Enhancement Proposal. The City Council will receive recommendations from the Blue Ribbon Committee regarding service and revenue enhancements for building and planning services and programs through the Community Development Department to reduce taxpayer subsidy for these activities. And if we can have a staff report, Mr. Raper, please.
Mayor, members of the council, what I have is a outstanding and excellent slide presentation for you tonight. As soon as we get this going here. Tonight is a general presentation to the City Council as to some philosophies and hopefully policy direction relating to revenue enhancement. What we have completed for the City Council presentation is a slide presentation entitled Community Development Department Revenue Enhancement Policy Direction. Whoops. A little bit of background. The city has retained the firm of Maximus, Inc. to do a fee study on general fund revenues and operations, departments and operations, looking at recovery of fees through user fees. The purpose of the study was really to look at taxpayer subsidy with services that are currently provided within the Community Development Department. The object and the goal is to free up general fund monies that could be utilized for other basic services within the community, and that would be for police, fire, parks, recreation, public works, and street maintenance. The study really focused on the Community Development Department, the three divisions, Planning Division, Utilities, and the Building Division. Tonight, the Blue Ribbon Committee has not provided any recommendations related to customer service issues, methods to improve turnaround times for processing of building permits, planning checks, planning application permits. And their charge was also to assist staff in reviewing the current programs and fee levels that we currently charge to the community. Through the Blue Ribbon Committee, certain implementations have already occurred within the Community Development Department, primarily in planning and building divisions. Significant operational changes have already been implemented, and from feedback that we have from the building industry as well as others, that we have a very high customer service satisfaction at this point in time, and we're our charge and our goal is to retain that high perception of customer satisfaction. The Blue Ribbon Committee, as being part of the building industry, they utilize the services provided by the City of Grover Beach Community Development Department as well as other communities within San Luis Obispo, the county. so they know what the processes are and fees are of other communities. They have provided a comprehensive perspective on the processes that we use and have made very good recommendations to us. They routinely conduct business within the city. They use the various processes, both in planning, building, plan check, so on. They have made, again, useful suggestions and observations for us to begin to modify our process. They are aware of the other communities' fees, and when comparing the city of Grover Beach's fees with other communities, they believe that our service costs are much less than what other communities charge for the similar services. One of the things that we've been talking about is a changing portion of the Community Development Department to what we call enterprise function, or enterprise fund function. Basically, we're looking at potentially with the City Council direction is to begin phasing over the Community Development Department portions of its operation into an enterprise fund. And what that would do is basically ensure that 100% recovery costs are associated with the services, and that revenue that is generated from building and planning activities would stay in that for future use for those divisions. The department currently has three enterprise funds, which is water, sewer, and stormwater. And so the changeover to other planning and building, it would not be something new, but it'd be different. And so we're planning on, if the City Council concurs, is look at that at the fiscal year for 05. So that's what we're looking for, is looking at that and changing over the planning and building division operation into an enterprise fund in our fiscal year 05. Now, as we look at taxpayer subsidy for planning and building utilities, what we stated earlier is that there is current taxpayer subsidies for these services. As a result, if the City Council proceeds with the philosophy of 100% or close we can for cost recovery, some applicants will be on sewer inspections, and when these kind of services overlap or support overlaps, what our intent is to do is to combine the fees from the Utilities and Administrative Services Department as one fee that would be collected from the customer at the time they require to do that, or at the time they are in need of that service. The philosophy of for the underlying increase of user fees is, as you may recall, with the presentation of Parks and Recs, and I did enjoy their presentation thoroughly. The same philosophy really is presented here, and you'll see that throughout your presentations regarding the fee study. Basically, cost for services that primarily benefit individuals rather than community at large is recommended to be 100% cost recovery. So if we look with that policy, that when applications benefit individuals or a specific group that is applying for the service, then 100% cost recovery will be recommended to the City Council. The infamous chart of who benefits, type of services, and funding sources is the same criteria that we'll be looking at the fees when we come back to the City Council. On March 10th, the Blue Ribbon Committee generally supported the revenue enhancement of all the fees that were presented. What they have several recommendations, and we'll just run through those real quickly. On the appeal fees, they were a little torn, and what they felt was is that if we're going to do a full cost recovery of the pool of appeal fee, it would be $1,800, and they felt that that was way, way too expensive. And what they wanted to do is to they did not want to discourage citizen participation by making the appeal fee so high that it would really discourage individuals to come in. But also they didn't want to make it so low that it would just that a person would come in arbitrarily, and if it's not costly enough for them to think about it, if they're serious enough to really provide an appeal fee. So the committee felt that a range from $350 to $500 would be appropriate, and left that range to the discretion of City Council as to what you felt would be the most appropriate fee. Conditional. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Jake. We're talking about the range. We're talking about that's going to be a policy decision versus some scalable range depending on the type of project that's being appealed?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
Now, well, that's what the thought process was, but you'll see that there, when we have complex projects, we may want to look at that. But, again, it's a policy decision. So,
is this an appeal fee that would be applicable to people that were appealing something like a contractor that or a developer that brought forth a program or brought forth something?
A project. Yeah.
The project they were appealing it, as well as the appeal of a next-door neighbor that says, I don't really, that same fee, it's the same no matter who's appealing it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's what's being proposed. Well, will be proposed to you.
Okay.
Be divided up into three categories. And their three categories would be the environmental analysis with a negative declaration would be $1,200. And they felt that environmental analysis with a mitigated neg deck would be $1,800. Then the environmental analysis resulting in an EIR would be $1,200 plus full cost recovery. And what that would mean we would do is really track our time and materials when we do an EIR throughout that process to get full recovery cost. And that goes with this recommended policy to the City Council is if a project is complex and it does require intensive time for staff and the processing time because of the complexity, the committee felt a base fee plus full recovery cost to the city should be considered. This type of project may be a combination of a subdivision that requires much more intensive review by the Planning Commission and staff, creates more controversy, so on and so forth, that really intensifies staff time in reviewing and making recommendations to that project. The other thing that the city has, which is not uncommon, is the city consults with many specialists. We have a contract city engineer. We have contract services for plan checks, and we recover 100%, we're attempting to cover 100% of those fees associated with individual projects. What is lacking is that we do not have really a fee that says we need to get full recovery costs for these types of services that the city contracts with consultants to be paid for by the applicant of that project. The committee also reviewed the encroachment permit fee of $5, which is identified in the Maximus study. I know the Administrative Services Director is doing a new time motion study based upon information provided by Public Works staff to re-verify the $5. And as we look at that time motion study, we'll be presenting a recommendation to you on the encroachment permit. I think the current fee is $25, and the identified fee is $5. And so we'll be taking a strong look at that.
Can you give us some examples of encroachment fee?
In the permit itself, what occurs with it?
Well, who would need an encroachment fee?
Oh, an encroachment permit would be a person who is wanting to pour sidewalks, curb gutters, and sidewalks. It could be a person that is doing a curb cut for a new driveway. It could be a person who is wanting to install go across the property or hook up a sewer line or a water line within public right-of-way, from the public right-of-way onto private property.
So those are one-time permits?
It's a one-time permit and activity.
What about some of the press or semi-press people that are placing so many ugly boxes in our street that are, you know, newspaper boxes? Do we have a right to charge them an encroachment permit?
I'm not that familiar. I have to defer to the city attorney. I'm not sure if we haven't been really exposed to that subject area. But if the city attorney has the information, you may be able to share it. If not, we can bring back a report to you on that as part of our fee schedule.
Pastor Robles will know all about it. They fought that battle. Great idea. Great idea.
Well, I mean, just I think when somebody drills a hole in your sidewalk and puts a big bolt there and sticks a box in your sidewalk, you have the right to tell them what size, what that box should look like from an aesthetic point of view, from a community that's trying to clean up a block. And we're, you know, spending $1 million between 9th and 10th on Grand Avenue, and we have these, and I keep calling them boxes. Maybe that's not a very proper term, but they really aren't very significantly aesthetically pleasing. And so I think that there could be some ways of making them look better or limit the number of them. And the, like I said, if they're putting a big bolt or chaining their devices to our public conveniences, like a light pole or fire hydrants, but you know, trees, city trees and stuff, I think that they should pay for that convenience. But that's my little soapbox. I'm sorry.
Okay. So maybe at the appropriate time, you may want to give staff direction to kind of to explore that or research that.
Yeah, I think so. That's my personal opinion. But
okay, Jake, you could. How many more slides do you have?
I don't know. I
tell
hard
them three.
Okay.
We'll view every third slide. Let's go through every third slide.
And okay. we really appreciate the graphics of your slides.
Okay, the architectural review, the a new program they're talking about is pre-development or pre-application process, talking about establishing an administrative fee for contract services. They're identified certain fees that were not even looked at in terms of the study that we may want to look at as part of our master fee schedule. This is getting to the end. Okay. Council alternatives. Staff is not recommending consideration of a specific fee tonight, but what we are looking for is adopt a policy direction in order for us to come back to you with a proposed fee schedule at the meeting in June. And, what we have is really five policy directions that we're asking the City Council to consider. The first one is develop programs that establish the planning and building programs as an enterprise fund operation, should you desire us to do that. Develop a policy achieving full cost recovery for user fees when the activities benefits the individual or group of individuals. Prepare a comprehensive fee schedule based upon the Blue Ribbon Committee's recommendations, and prepare an amendment to the master fee schedule, and convene a public hearing to amend the master fee schedule. As we talked about earlier, it most likely would be in the month of June. Bring this back. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to respond to the council and or staff or the public.
Thank you, Jake. We appreciate that staff report. Does anyone have any questions of Jake?
Jake, I was wondering if you could explain.
This fund would do is to legitimize that kind of approach and philosophy. Any funds generated through the building division activity would be placed in that enterprise fund. And when we have slow times in the department and we need gap financing because the revenues are not as high, and then that revenue source can be utilized. What it would also do is not permit the revenues generated in the planning and or building divisions to be put in the general fund, which currently it is placed in the general fund, and the activities are funded through the general fund. So that is the general philosophy, is looking at a enterprise fund for planning and building. Now, the reality is planning and building would not be totally 100% enterprise, because there's so much public services and special studies that are performed by the planning staff, building division, and public works staff. So some subsidy would have to occur from the general fund. But at least from a budgeting standpoint, we can anticipate what our revenue in the future will be, look at what our budgetary needs are in terms of personnel and equipment, and look at the overhead that is required of the city for retirement, vacation, sick leave, and health policies, and so on and so forth. So it may give the city a little bit better handle on the operations should we go to an enterprise fund. And quite honestly, it's a new process for me. So with the direction, if the city council is desirous of an 05, it would be a very great exercise for me because it broaden my view in terms of the budget process and developing an enterprise fund. Water sewer services, I can understand clearly how that occurs, and that is usually supported through user fees when they pay their utility bills and so on and so forth. So, and maybe the city manager would like to expand on the enterprise fund concept.
Thanks.
Did you have anything you want to add to that?
I think the basic concept is that when you have full cost recovery and you create fees that are seem like they're dramatic increases or are dramatic increases from what the current fees are, even though they may be considerably below market elsewhere in the county, that if those fees go into a fund where they can't be used for any other purpose, then I think that the folks who are paying those fees have a lot higher confidence level that they're going to get the services that they're paying for, and that those kinds of innovations that may come about from one year to the next are there to enhance the service delivery that we are providing. And if those fees or any surplus that might occur at any point in time end up being lumped in with the general fund and end up being available for other kinds of activities in the general fund, then there's a disconnect with regard to the kind of fees that folks are paying. So the whole thought on for the purposes they were collected.
Great, thank you, Steve.
Can I just, Ron, just throw something out there? I mean, couldn't the argument be made to keep the fund structure status quo as it is today? Because also another perspective that I just was thinking about was there's an additional impact to the community that the development brings, which is the ability to provide basic services. We're compiling, or the interim chief is putting together a game plan for the fire department as a long-range picture. Couldn't this possibly, along with parks and recreation, these increased revenue streams help fund other needs within the general fund?
The way they would do that is by looking at, taking into consideration that at this point in time, we are, as Jake said, dramatically subsidizing the kinds of services that are being provided in the Community Development Department, particularly development-related kinds of services. So if we then say we're going to take those costs out of the general fund and we're going to take the revenues that are raised just from development out of the general fund, what's left then is a bunch of general fund taxpayer resources that have been used to subsidize that activity that are then available for activities in the general fund,
okay,
such as police, fire, parks, and rec.
Great. Thank you.
Have any more questions, Steve?
Mayor, members of the council, I would like to introduce Tom Murray. He's one of our Blue Ribbon Committee members. He's in the back of the audience, and yeah, he has graciously consented to attend this meeting tonight to answer any question the council may have of a committee member. Just for that, for your information there.
Okay. Did you bring Mr. Murray here to be part of the presentation, or I'll get to him when we go out to the public?
If he wishes to make part of the presentation, he's more than welcome to do so. Or if you want him to speak during the public comment, I'm sure he'd be willing to do that as well.
Okay. Thank you. Steve, were you done with your questions?
Yes, thanks.
Dave, you have any questions of staff?
A couple, Jake.
Yes, sir.
Back on this enterprise fund, if you're not required to make a profit in this. If you have a building enterprise fund, you're not required to have a profit in there, are you?
But we do not make a profit.
I know now you're not, but we don't have a building enterprise fund either.
That's correct.
When we start one, we have the ability to retain that income in that fund, but it doesn't have to make money.
No, it does not have to make money. So, for instance, if we make $1 million for fiscal year 05, and it's enough money to fund the department for another 2 years. Theoretically, you could basically give the services for free. However, on the third year, if we have a building crash and there's no development, then we have no revenues to continue the support of the operation. So I wouldn't say that we make a profit. I think what we would do is fair pay, and we'll charge the appropriate fee for the services provided. And any excess revenue that is generated would be put into the fund account for utilization for that activity. Mm-hmm. That may mean buying new computers for the building division. It may be purchasing a new vehicle. Maybe new...
And help us. But if our fees are really low, nobody tells us about it. If they're really high, they really tell us.
Yeah, that's true.
But if we're going to all of a sudden go down this road and all of a sudden we have enterprise funds and then we're trying to make them fully cost recovery and we shut down our building because we're so expensive that we're not... We're driving along, driving away the very improvements that we want. We need to be careful about that.
I think as a city manager, I know he wants to say something, so I'll shut up.
Yeah, City Manager Anderson.
I was going to say a couple of things, Mayor. First of all, not only are we not trying to create fees that would make a profit, but we are precluded from doing that under the state constitution. So our intention is to create fees that are 100% cost recovery. One of the benefits of an enterprise is that as we strive to become more efficient and do a better job at providing the service, just the service that's necessary, we may have set some of these fees a little high unintentionally. And if that happens and it's in the general fund, then that surplus would just roll over into the general fund. If it's an enterprise, the development industry knows for certain that money's going to stay there. One of the primary purposes of any significant carryover in that fund would be to reduce fees, because we know they're too high then. So we would be able to then...
I'm sure government is going to reduce fees on anything. Who are we kidding? And they're going to find a place to spend the money.
Well, if we can provide the same service at a lower cost, then we're going to lower the fee because we have to by state constitution. Okay. And how timely we are in that, how soon it is that we recognize that situation, you know, our intention is to reconsider the fees annually. And if we're carrying over a large amount, then we're going to be using that to underwrite fees for a period of time until that's no longer a problem.
Well, I do see this as freeing up general fund money. I think that's where you're going. That's all. Thanks.
Yeah, I would agree. Thanks. Mr. Arnoldson, you have any questions? You awake already? Okay. Great. I had a few questions, so don't leave the podium.
Yes, sir.
I did get an opportunity to get some of my questions in. The Blue Ribbon Committee, you're talking about you're going to be coming back.
Yes, sir. I'm not sure. We're getting some static.
What?
I always state the obvious.
He's getting static, and it's not from me tonight, so.
Yes, sir. You got some questions.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could use your crystal ball, and maybe Mr. Murray can chime in on this when he gets an opportunity. How many more meetings do you see occurring with the Blue Ribbon Committee before you've kind of finalized the recommendations?
The next meeting is to be focusing on building and the water retrofit discussion. And then we're looking at June for the adoption of the master fee schedule. And that's where we list out all the fees that the committee has identified and staff has identified to the council. And I believe it's the intent of the city manager and administrative services director to come back in June with the advertised public hearing for the adoption of all the fees at that time. Is that correct?
Actually, that would be the outside. We would want to try to move that process and sooner to try to have the fees in place before June.
Okay. Great. The other thing, I know that, you know, once the committee has finalized those recommendations, and I think Councilmember Agbaum kind of started going down this trail where he was talking about if we put the fees too high, then people won't want to come into the community and do these enhancers or these improvements. Mm-hmm. It's part of that process, and anyone who's here to maybe can help answer this, it's part of that process, once you finalize a recommendation, to go and look and see what other communities in San Luis and Santa Barbara County are charging. I know we can't do a straight comparison because right. The processes are slightly different, but at least we can from a perspective to see whether recommended fees are falling in line with other cities in our region.
Yeah, we, from a staff perspective and to the Blue Ribbon Committee, we did provide the fee comparison of all the cities within the county, as well as the county fees associated with that. And again, our fees are substantially less than what other counties and cities are doing. Also, the fee list is much longer in other communities, and they've itemized those out. So, and we can provide that to the city council as part of the public hearing process if you would like that. That kind of information is a pretty thick document, though, once we get everybody together. So should you like to have that, we can certainly provide that to you.
Well, I don't know if we need the two-inch thick document, but I think once we get to that point, it would be good information for us to kind of have just a real quick overview of how those fees compare to other cities in the county.
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
And for the council and the audience, if they're interested, we do have that information in the Community Development Department, and be happy to provide copies for the public at a very reasonable cost.
Mayor, I think what our intention would be at that snapshot in time would be to take examples of, say, a single-family residential development. If we built a 1,600-square-foot house on a 5,000-square-foot lot, and that was in Arroyo Grande or Pismo or San Luis Obispo or Paso Robles, Tascadero, or Morro Bay, here's how much that would cost. Here's how much it is in Grover Beach that we're have now, and here's what we're proposing. And we would try to boil it down to that kind of comparison.
Yes, sir. That's what we'll present.
Yeah. No, I think that would be good. That's a great way to present it. So I think that would be something that I know I would be looking for. I don't know how the others feel about that. Okay. The last question that I had was on the general plan amendments and some of the more complex projects. You were talking about full cost recovery. So let's say, for example, a project comes in and you take in the $1,800 or $1,200 to make the determination if an EIR is required. You're then going to go out to consultants, get bids. Will there be a deposit required up front? And I'm trying to get too much into the details, but yeah. I know you're going to track time. You know, I'm just kind of curious if you've kind of thought about how you're going to implement something like that.
It would be very similar to what an EIR would cost if it's a complex project, require a deposit and full cost recovery. And so what that deposit would be is I do not have I have some general ideas, but nothing firm at this point.
Okay. And I misspoke. I did have one more.
Yes, sir.
In your staff report on page 4, there is – wait till you catch up.
Yes, sir.
On page 4, under revenue enhancement through increased user fees, and it looks like you've said based on the maximum report, increased revenue would be approximately $60,000 per year.
Yes,
sir. For those who don't have – the benefit of having this report in hand, could you kind of explain where that number comes from, and does this include planning and building, you know, just sort of some clarification?
Yes, sir. This only includes planning, the $60,000 per year in increased revenue. And as the study goes, it identifies a number of processes like a conditional use permit, general plan amendment, administrative permits, encroachment permits, and those type of things. They identify the number of permits in a snap in 1 year, I think it was 2002, that they use it as their base year. They looked at the total revenue generated based on the current fees, Then they looked at the total unit recovery cost for that. Then they separated out what we currently charge, what the total recovery cost would be, identify the surplus per unit. Then they multiplied the number of permits by the surplus money that would be generated upon the new fee, came out with a total per year. And then they did that with each one of the items and came up with approximately $60,000. I think it was $59,000 something. So it's approximately $60,000 in additional revenue.
And that's just planning.
That's just planning, yes.
Great. Great. Thank you. Does anyone else have any more questions to staff? I didn't think so. So I'm going to open up public hearing and see if anyone who would like to speak on this. Mr. Murray, this is your opportunity to kind of share with us some of the things you've done, or are you pretty happy with the way things are going with the committee? I know I'm putting you on the spot, sorry.
Well, actually, I think Jake did a good job explaining exactly what took place. It was an accurate representation of what I saw, too. I think they're...
For the record, I'm sorry, sir. Would you state your name and address, please?
Tom Murray, Royal Grandy. I'm a building contractor in the community and own property here. So anyway, boy, that diverted my whole train of thought. essentially, there was a pretty diverse group of membership, larger developers. I'm definitely on the smaller end of things. We did reach some consensus, certainly, the area of appeals. And actually, I was real pleased to see that even some of the larger developers felt that that's important to maintain public input into that process. I think the community benefits. You get better projects when that takes place. And of course, that should be encouraged whenever possible. The minor use permit, again, it's something that there's a public benefit for, because the small businesses are really the lifeblood of a community, particularly this community, and the council should do everything that they can, at least the feeling on the committee is, to make it easy for smaller businesses to open and flourish in Grover Beach. On the issue of, and this part I'm speaking only for myself, when it comes to outside consultants, the one thing that I think a lot of us would be more comfortable with would be to make sure that there's a review process with outside consultants to make sure that the developers are getting their money's worth, both in terms of what they're paying for the review process and also in terms of making sure that the review process is adequate and sometimes not superfluous. We want to do what's necessary to make the project right and correct, but we also don't want to have to incur unnecessary expenses. And while there's some accountability with staff, it's very direct in terms of there's people we can talk to in management and actually on the policy level. It's a little bit harder to make that connection when you have outside consultants. And so I would like to say that I would feel comfortable or would like to see some sort of review process implemented that we can ascertain that that's, in fact, what's happening with those outside consultants. I think that's pretty much all that I had to say about it. It's been an interesting process, been enjoyable working with staff. I think it's been productive. And I'm here to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Anyone have any questions?
Tom, sure. I had one. And that was just this idea of a pre-application process and fee. That made a lot of sense to me. That sounded like that might be one of the best things we could do to speed up the whole process. If they can resolve a lot of the issues before they apply, it'll just float right through. And had you talked about a fee structure at all for that at this point? Is it significant, or is it?
Well, we discussed how it's done in other parts of the county, for example, at the county level, and I think San Luis Obispo City has the same kind of process where you essentially put a deposit in. It could be $500 was one of the numbers that I heard thrown out. And essentially, instead of having somebody come up to the counter and start taking a huge amount of staff time on a specific project and really getting into the nuts and bolts, which is, I mean, it's a very easy thing to happen because you're enthused, you want to see your project move forward, and you want to get as much information. What staff can say is, hold on, wait a second, let's get all the players together so we can answer all your questions in one shot. It's going to be a few $100 to have everybody sit down to pay for the time, but you'll find it's worth it in the long run because as a builder, if you just have a clean package of what you need to do and you don't get hammered constantly with, oh, we forgot this, oh, we forgot that, oh, you need to do this, oh, you need to do that. If you've just got a reasonably clean, comprehensive package, or even just an assessment as to where you can go from here, whether it's a viable project even, can save you huge amounts of money down the road. So I agree with you, Dave. It makes a lot of sense to do something like that.
Yeah, I know San Luis County, what they do is you pay a nominal fee, you go in and meet with staff, they check off all the things that you'll need, and if you then submit your actual application within 6 months, they apply that amount to the fee. So it's, I think, something worth considering and looking into. Okay. Okay. Anyone else have any questions at all? Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who'd like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing portion and bring it back to the council. Dave, would you like to start on this one?
Yeah, I think we've said everything other than we talked about a little bit. If you're going to bring up a comparison of a 69-foot square foot house in Morro Bay, I think it'd be fun to see what our kind of a line chart of our existing fees, the new fees, and then some of the major fees comparison. It doesn't have to be every little fee, but I think that's going to be a significant selling point for us to present to the public also, and where we are, where we're going to be, and thank you.
That's it. Steve?
I have nothing more to add. Thanks.
Mr. Arnolson?
No, thank you.
Okay. I'm just going to quickly go through a couple of thoughts that I had had. I like the idea of the enterprise fund. I believe if we can free up general fund for other uses, that would be great. I have no problem subsidizing social and recreational programs, but I believe that development projects or development must pay its own way. We need to have projects that are, I don't know if it's revenue neutral or cost neutral and how we do that. So I'm definitely in support of full cost recovery. I know that this Blue Ribbon Committee has been working. They're getting their sea legs. And I know that staff has already made some administrative changes that is, in fact, enhancing how projects are processed in this community and improving timelines. People who constantly stop me on the street and say how glad they are with the recent changes. So I think we're heading in the right direction, and I'd like to see us keep going there. And with that, can we get a – are we looking for a motion on this, or are we just looking to give staff some direction?
It doesn't have to be a roll call vote, but we would like, you know, if council is prepared to move staff recommendation and okay. With a voice vote, that's fine.
So I'd ask for a motion.
I'd like to move that we comply with the recommended action as proposed by staff with steps 1 through 5.
I'll second that.
We got a motion by Councilman Lieberman, a second by Councilman Ekbaum. Voice vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, at this point, we're going to recess the city council meeting, and we're going to be going back to the special joint city council improvement agency. But before we do that, we're going to take, let's take a 10-minute break.
Thank you.
I'm floating. Okay.
Should we move forward with our technical difficulties?
Yes, please.
Okay. As I had said before the break, we're going to recess this City Council into a special joint City Council and Improvement Agency meeting. Before we move forward on the agenda for the special meeting, we have a reportable action from closed session. Earlier tonight, at March 15, 2004, the City Council agreed in principle with an amended agreement for the economic development, or with the consultant for the economic development coordinator position. And I think that is an item on the agenda. Okay. Now that we're reconvening the special Joint City Council Improvement Agency meeting, we have the consent calendar. Can I get a motion on the consent calendar?
I'd like to make a motion to adopt Improvement Agency Consent Agenda, item number one.
Second.
I have a motion by Board Member Lieberman, a second by Board Member Ekbaum. Voice vote, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, we're moving to the consent. This is a joint City Council agency consent. The first was the agency consent, so this is item CCIA1. And I get a motion on that as well.
So we're going to make a motion to accept the amended agreement subject to staff is going to, I'm sorry, help me with where we're at on this.
Yeah, the staff recommendation, council and agency, would be for the executive director / city manager to finalize and execute the agreement on the city and agency's behalf. And that is before the members of the council and agency.
Okay.
The item.
Thank you. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to accept the alternative number one and approve the proposed amendment to the consultant services agreement and authorize the city manager executive director to execute it on the city / agency's behalf.
I'll gladly second.
I have a motion by Board Member Lieberman and a second by Board Member and actually Council Member Ekbaum. That's a roll call vote. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes.
Council and Board Member Ekbaum?
Yes, yes.
Council and Board Member Arnoldson?
Yes.
Mayor and Vice Chair, Chair Scholes?
Yes. Okay, we're moving into Joint Council Agency Business. This is item CCIA2. This is a visioning program, community highlights, and West Grand Avenue and land use element update. Can I get a staff report? Is that going to be the community development director?
Executive director as well. Or deputy executive director. Long title. Council member, members and board members and mayor and chair of the city of Grover Beach. But some background. On January 20th, 2004, staff presented to the City Council a recommendation to award a contract for the land use element update and EIR for a contract not to exceed $100,000. The City Council at that time, because of the concern with the state budget, continued the item to this meeting March 15th of 04. Also on February 9th, 04, the Council, Improvement Agency, and Planning Commission conducted a joint workshop entitled Visioning the Future of West Grand Avenue. The firm of RRM Design Group and their representatives and staff, as well as a private developer, presented some concepts and thought-provoking future design concepts for West Grand Avenue. The City Council, the Improvement Agency, and Planning Commission at that meeting identified that requested staff to identify an approach to build up on this visioning exercise. Tonight, what we're presenting to you is what we believe is your directive and follow-up from that February 9th joint workshop meeting. The staff is presenting two concepts for funding. Now, the first concept would be utilizing $15,000 of the already allocated $100,000 for the land use element update. Portion of that $15,000 as part of the land use element update was for visioning, going out to an outreach program within the community and getting folks to share with staff and the consultant and eventually the city council as to what they believe the vision of Grover Beach would be in terms of the land use element update. The second part of a funding request from the agency would be to expend $15,000 from Project Area 1 revenue and Project Area 2 revenue, funding a $30,000 visioning study that would be the first step in the land use element update. In the vision or in the concept that we have worked out with the consultant, Design Community Environment Consulting Firm, DC&E, is to do three workshops within the community. The first workshop would be looking at the city as a whole, talking about special project areas that are ripe for development or encouragement for development. One specific area that we're looking at is West Graham. Another area that may come out of the visioning process is our most recently formed redevelopment project area for redevelopment, the project area number two. But what we're hoping to do as part of this visioning process is look from the ocean up to 13th Street along Grand Avenue, really creating a vision of what Grand Avenue would look like in the future. And again, it's building up on the February 9th joint workshop by the Council and Improvement Agency and the Planning Commission. The second workshop proposed and what we're presenting to you is to really to build up on workshop number one. And then in workshop number two, it's our hopes to utilize what they call Places 3. It's a computerized land use enhancement program, which basically you can break up a room of interested folks, and they can go in and say, well, we would like to see three-story buildings in this area or land coverage of 50% or 75% in this area. We want to see three stories, five stories. And what that would do is put in some parameters within the computerized program and really take a look at demand upon public services. Traffic is one of the primary generators. But the Places 3 program would give you a simulation of what the community could look like. As part of the Places 3 program, they have a whole series of visuals so that they can drop down into what the community would be preferred. For instance, the SACOG, Sacramento Council of Governments, is utilizing this program to get some consensus building throughout their communities. And some of the photographs that we have seen, they talk about multi-story buildings, talk about large apartment complexes, hotels, conference centers, residential development, townhouses, industrial development. There's many different visuals that they can pull down as to what they would like to see occurring within what they believe the future of the Grover Beach would be. But anyway, that cost would be basically at a zero cost to the city utilizing our SLOCOG's Places 3 model. They would provide staff to help do the simulation and work with the audience to get the feedback into that. Then workshop number three would be really focusing on West Grand Avenue corridor because that's our primary economic enhancement that we're really marketing at this point. And the purpose of that workshop is really to fine-tune the visioning process that we have gone through and really coming up with some ideas as to what West Grand could be. Also, the study outcomes are identified in here to really look at what the next steps need to be. For instance, if we come up with a lot of ideas for West Grand Avenue as to multi-story buildings, as Suzanne talks about feathering buildings back, to create an open area but allow intensification along this area. What do we need to do to ensure that to occur? It may be funding the preparation and adoption of a specific plan that has specific zoning ordinances and development ordinances within that specific plan, looking at architectural guidelines and controls, and really coming up with the tools to take the next step to ensure how we want our community to grow and our economic diamond in the rough, you might want to say, from the ocean to 13th Street. We feel that the blending of funding between the general fund, $15,000 from the previously allocated $100,000 of the land use element update, and taking some improvement agency funds, $10,000 from Project Area 1 and $5,000 from Project Area 2, that would give us the combined $30,000. We feel that this visioning exercise will give us some tools. It will allow the City Council, the Planning Commission, and the community to participate in a visioning process and to participate as to what we would like to see our community to be in the future. Staff believes it's a very viable tool, something that we will need as we go through our general plan update, our land use element update, as well as our solidifying our visioning process for from the ocean to West Grant. So we have many exciting things occurring within that corridor, and we want to provide every opportunity for success for future investors as well as existing businesses along this area. So what we have provided is really five alternatives to the board and council for your consideration. What our recommendations are, though, is that we split up our staff report into City Council action and board action. But in essence, what the City Council we're asking you to authorize is the expenditure of $15,000 for a contract for DCE to undertake, in conjunction with the agency, the visioning process. That what also the City Council, in terms of the land use element and EIR update, that we continue the bulk of that project to June 21st to really find out where we are from the state budget. And also we'll be winding down the visioning process. And if the excitement is there and the need is there, we can come back to the City Council, say, okay, we have all this great information. Now is the time to really begin implementing the land use element update to ensure that we don't lose that momentum. The improvement agency proposed action is really in two separate actions again. One is to adopt an amendment to the annual appropriations resolution in the amount of $15,000. Again, 10 would come out of Project Area 1 and 5 would come out of Project Area 2. The second action would be for the agency to authorize the expenditure of the $15,000 to a contract with DCE in conjunction with the City Council to complete the visioning project. And with that, I'll stop and answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Jake. Did anyone have any questions of staff?
I had one.
Yes, sir.
Jake, we're looking at the timeline for the workshops, finishing up pretty much the end of May. You may have already answered this. I mean, what's the timeline for them to prepare a product and deliver it to us?
I would anticipate that it would be like your first meeting in June or your second meeting in June for the final presentation. And what my thoughts were during this whole discussion is that we would bring back the land use element contract back to you with a report on the visioning. And that way you can have a real good tool as to whether or not you wish to proceed with the land use element update at that time. And also we should have more information as to what our budget circumstances would be with the state. So to long response to your question, June 21st.
Okay. One other question. Where, Design Community and Environment, DC&E, the firm, where are they located?
They're out of Berkeley.
Berkeley? Okay.
The firm did the Avila Beach renovation project, and what has been constructed is their design, and so they're quite. I don't want to say well known, but they have a lot of skills within their staff to accomplish the tasks that we need.
Okay, thanks. That's
just
all I have.
Just as a sidebar, is when we interviewed that firm, the principal took a lot of personal time to get acquainted with the community. Very knowledgeable with our projects that we had, so they invested a lot of time doing some research, and that meant a lot to me because they were very interested as to what their end product would be if they were awarded the land use element update.
That's great to know. Thanks.
Ron, you have any questions?
None at this time.
Suzanne may want to, I mean, she helped tremendously in preparation of this report, and I know she's worked diligently with the consultants, and she may have some other additions to the staff report if she would like to come forward. If not, then she can stay seated.
Dave, did you have any questions of Jake at all?
No, I guess I don't. Okay. I have some comments, I guess, but later.
Okay. Suzanne, okay.
Just excited.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jake. This is a business item, but I'll open it up and see if anyone from the public would like to address this item. Seeing no one, I'll bring this back to the City Council. And let's, Ron, would you like to start? Do you have any comments on this?
No.
Is that two?
Just two.
Dave, one.
Two. One is that I think Ron Perkins' unique proposal on 4th Street really got us off the dime here, and we need to go forward with some kind of visioning. But I'm concerned that after this visioning process is completed and we have a report and a vision, we need to be able to move forward on it. Those are timely reports. If it sits there for several years, it's dead weight. So I hope that we can have our economic development coordinator, consultant, moving right along with us to get this moving. When we get the vision, let's just go right into action on it. And hopefully that's where we'll be.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments?
That's it.
Just going to make you. Okay, I just had a couple of comments. I like the approach that staff has brought forward. You know, we all participated, or we had the workshop in which Mr. Perkins came forward and shared a vision. Visioning is something that I've been pushing for a while now, and breaking out the visioning component to the land use element gets us off in the right direction. I think these are exciting times in this community, and I think, as Suzanne had talked about, there's excitement in the air, and so I would like to see this move forward. I think when you come back on June 21st, hopefully the Blue Ribbon committees will have wrapped up all of the revenue enhancements so that we can see how it all fits together. And I think that would bring another great component to this. And with that, I think I'd like to see if we could move this forward. And staff has divided this up into action by City Council and then action by the agency. So let's take City Council recommended action first. Can I get a motion on that?
That's you.
I'll make a recommendation on behalf of the City Council that we authorize the expenditure of $15,000 to contract with DC&E consultants to undertake in conjunction with the agency efforts a visioning project highlighting community opportunities for change in a vision for the Central Business District and visitor-serving corridor, industrial enhancement project area, and other areas identified for change. And number two, that we go with staff recommendation that the council continue the consideration of the award of the land use element and EIR preparation to June 21st, 2004 council meeting.
Second.
Wow.
Eloquently stated, we have a motion from Councilmember Lieberman and a second by Councilmember Arnoldson. I almost forgot your name because you haven't talked very much tonight. Can I get a roll call on that?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnoldson.
Yes.
Councilmember
Eckhoff.
Yes.
Mayor Scholes.
Yes. And can we get an action by the agency?
Go, Steve. You're good.
Come on,
reading.
Guys. Come on.
You guys are killing me. I'd like to recommend, take staff's recommendations number 1 and 2, that the Improvement Agency adopt the resolution for the Fourth Amendment to the Annual Appropriation Resolution to appropriate $15,000 to conduct the vision study, $10,000 coming out of Project Area 1, $5,000 out of Project Area 2, and moving to suggested action number 2, go with the staff recommendation that the Improvement Agency authorize the expenditure of $15,000 to contract with DC&E consultants to undertake, in conjunction with the city efforts, a visioning project highlighting community opportunities for change and a vision for the Central Business District and Visitor Serving Corridor, Industrial Enhancement Project Area, and other areas identified for change.
And adopt the resolution?
Yes, number 1.
Was that a second?
Yeah, okay. You did do that. Second, yes.
Okay, that's a motion by Board Member Lieberman and a second by Board Member Arnoldson. And a roll call.
Yes.
Board Member Arnoldson?
Yes.
Board Member Eckbaum?
Yes.
Excuse me. Chair Schultz?
Yes. And can I get a motion to adjourn the special joint city council and improvement agency meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Do we really have to?
Please.
Come on, come on.
One meeting.
It's my moment. It's my moment in the sun. Come on. All right. So the joint meeting is adjourned, and we will reconvene the regular city council meeting. We are moving into item 14 on the city council agenda. That item is award of contract for recreation element update. City Council will consider awarding a contract for consulting services to develop and update the recreation element of the city's general plan. Staff report by Recreation Manager Petker. You don't have any slides, do you?
No slides.
No, I'm kidding.
Kathy Petker, Recreation Manager. During the 2004 budget process, the City Council appropriated $25,000 for the Parks and Recreation Department and the city to update the Parks and Recreation element. And in January of 2004, staff distributed the request for proposals, and we received one proposal back from the consulting firm Firma. The last update for the Park and Recreation element for the city was in 1991. The Parks and Recreation element is a common tool used in the Parks and Recreation field. It's a long-range planning tool. It'll assist our city with future decision-making, and it is an exciting process to be a part of, and staff is really looking forward to it. An adopted recreation element will increase the city's chances of obtaining grants and other funding by showing commitment to parks and recreation services in their city. The updated parks and recreation element will also be used in the process of updating our impact fees with the Community Development Department. This will also help us identify facility needs as well as cost estimates for purchase and installation of equipment. The company of Firma was recommended because of their experience with over 25 years in park master planning. Firma will coordinate preparing an inventory and needs assessment, coordinating community workshops, preparing policy documents, providing maps, working with the Community Development Department to prepare the CEQA document. The City Council has two alternatives to consider, and staff recommends that the City Council award the contract for the recreation element to Firma in the amount of $25,000, to direct staff to proceed with the completion of the contract documents, and to authorize the mayor to execute them on the city's behalf. And the scope of work is attached for the City Council's review. Thank you.
Nice staff report. Does anyone have any questions of staff? Okay.
I had a question. I'm sorry. I had a question. And why isn't state parks property considered parkland in our city?
The state parks it will be included as part of the recreational opportunities identified in the element. But technically, since it's state property and the city does not have jurisdiction over it, that is why technically it's not. However, we do get some credit for having it as a recreational opportunity.
I would have thought that we would have, when you list the acres of parkland within your city limits, all the state parks, beach, is parkland. It's available to the public. Why isn't that counted, and why aren't there some kind of opportunities to jointly recreate on that or provide recreational opportunities there or something? But anyway, I think it certainly should be considered park property to the public. And that would be part of his scope there is...
It is in the recreation element. It is listed as park land, yeah.
But... We are always quoted as being way under the acreage per citizen or per mile or something, but we're not because we have miles of beach parkland there.
The National Parks and Recreation Association has standards, and they are so broad that it's really hard to say what the right standard is. They recommend by going by a level of service, and they take into consideration what we will go through. The process is seeing how our city is landlocked, how many our population is, what other services are available, state parks, city parks, all of that will be taken into consideration. Our level of service for parkland, it might be appropriate for our city for the services that we provide and what we have. Just because we're not meeting the national standard, it doesn't mean that it's wrong or bad, but that we should get more credit for the beach, and we can include that in our element recommendation.
That was my point. You're kite flying, you're running, jogging, playing, you're doing everything in a park that you would do on a beach and vice versa. And yet we never are
We do partner with the state. We do partner with the state for grant funding.
Okay.
So.
Great. Does anyone else have any questions? Okay, seeing none, this is a regular business item. I'm going to open it up to the public. Anyone in the audience like to speak to this item? No, I'm going to close it, bring it back to the council. Can I get a motion on this item? Don't all rush to the mic, gentlemen.
Brian, you going to do it or not?
Tick-tock.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the staff recommendation to award the contract for the recreation element update to Firma. Number two, direct staff to proceed with the completion of the contract documents. Three, authorize the mayor to execute them on the city's behalf. And four, begin the project.
Second.
Way to go. I have a motion by Councilmember Ekbaum and a second by Councilman Lieberman. And looks like we just need a voice vote on this. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, moving to item 15. This is consideration of a resolution establishing a voluntary payroll deduction program for nonprofit mutual benefit corporations. Looks like City Manager Anderson will be giving a very brief staff report.
Mayor, members of City Council, as you know, the city already provides payroll deductions for such items as agency shop fees or union dues, insurance premiums, United Way, so on. One of the options that we're coming forward tonight to ask the council to add to that would be a voluntary payroll deduction where the employees could designate a portion of their income to a nonprofit corporation that was created to assist California cities in protecting and strengthening the decision-making control process with regard to state government and how it deals with local governments. That nonprofit corporation is called Action for Better Cities. The item, the resolution that's before the council this evening would allow individual city employees or council members, anyone who is receiving a paycheck from the city, to designate some portion of that as a payroll deduction that could go to this purpose or any of the other purposes that the city provides. Staff would recommend that the council adopt the resolution establishing the authority to make voluntary payroll deductions for such nonprofit mutual benefit corporations as Action for Better Cities.
Very good staff report. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. Since there's no public members in the audience, there's no need to go out to the public. So to move this meeting along, can I get a motion on this, or does anyone have any comments on this?
I would move that we adopt a resolution establishing the authority to make voluntary payroll deductions for such nonprofit mutual benefit corporations as A, B, C, or Action for Better Cities.
I'll second that.
I have a motion by Councilmember Arnold and a second by Councilmember Ekbom. Is there any discussion?
I just think it's great that we're giving this option to ourselves and to the general employees of the city. I mean, we sit and we preach about what the state is in a position to do to local government, and it's important that all of us work together as best we can. We're always going to have differences in opinion, but this is definitely a time for us to band together and protect ourselves from future raids from the state. This is a great step. Thank you.
Great, and I would echo those same comments, and just know that there is an opportunity out there for the staff to contribute in this process so that, as Councilman Lieberman said, that it's a partnership and we're working together in the sense of trying to protect our local resources and provide those essential services locally. So with that, can I get a roll call?
Yes.
Councilmember Ekbom?
Yes.
Councilmember Lieberman?
Yes.
Mayor Scholes?
Yes. Moving into committee reports, Councilmember Arnoldson, anything to report?
There was supposed to be a Grover Beautiful committee last week. However, due to lack of quorum, it was canceled.
Okay.
I have no other reports.
Councilmember Lieberman?
No reports.
Okay. Councilmember Ekbom?
None.
And I don't have any as well. There is a League of California Cities Policy Committee meeting on housing this Friday, and so I'll have information to report back at our next meeting. Let's see, where are we? City manager's agenda. It looks like we've got status update on a proposal to conduct a joint workshop regarding police service enhancements.
Mayor, members of City Council, the Matrix consulting firm was in town last week to speak with the three police chiefs, the three city managers, and a couple of our council members who kind of initiated the process were involved in providing some feedback to the consultants also. We have some challenges, as you would expect, with regard to trying to get a time and a place where we can get all 15 council members, three city managers, three police chiefs, three union reps, the consultants, the facilitators, a facility where we can all meet, and then also to try to make sure that we can involve at least two citizens, for example, from each community. We, at this point, have identified the 22nd of April as a potential date. My understanding is that is a date that works for all five of the council members in Arroyo Grande and three of the five members in Pismo Beach is the initial response from that community. We wanted to see whether there's availability on the part of our five council members for that date. If that date is one that the consultant can be here, that we can use the South County Regional Center as a facility, and as far as we know, the three city managers, three police chiefs, and union reps are available. So the first feedback that we would like from the council at some point is whether the 22nd works for you. And then secondly, my understanding from the consultant is that the recommendation is going to be that each council appoint two citizen representatives. We could still have all kinds of community observers to the process and folks who can participate in a public comment kind of role or even commenting on what's happening, but in terms of breaking into small groups and reporting to the larger groups and those kinds of activities, trying to get a citizen perspective and having two individuals that the council appoints is, I think, what the consultant is going to recommend. So we would also like to have the council, agendize that for the next meeting, or, we would suggest that you ask us to do that.
Okay, and once we do that, would you like us to come forward with a name or two at that hearing?
Right.
That would be appropriate. Okay.
Right. However you want to identify, I don't know if each council member wants to identify a couple of names and for the council as a whole to select two, or you can direct us to come up with names for you. However you want to handle it, it's fine with us.
Okay. Is everybody on board with the council, the manager's agenda, and we agendize this? We just need a consensus, right?
April 22nd is a Thursday, right?
Right.
Are you looking for us to tell you about availability at this time?
Yeah. In my view, the potential is there that any date we pick, the probability that many people, one or two folks, are potentially not going to be able to attend. So it seems to me, as a minimum, we would want to have a quorum of all three councils. We would want to have the three city managers, the three police chiefs, three individuals who could act as union reps, whether they're union presidents or whatever, and two citizen representatives. And the consultant has indicated that adds up to 30 people, and that is a workable group of folks to be able to go through an effort to identify those things that folks agree on, those things that are targets of opportunity, and those things that may be challenges that need further work. And so we would welcome direction to put this on the next agenda to identify who the two citizen reps are, and if there are at least a quorum of Grover Beach City Council to be able to meet on the 22nd, then maybe that's the date that we can move forward with this then.
Last question. Is that the next regular meeting, not special meeting? Are we having a special meeting on the 29th?
Mark, that's right.
Okay, so it would be the next regular meeting, which would be the first meeting in April.
The 5th.
April 5th. Okay. Do we have consensus on that? We've got consensus. Thank you.
If we're talking about the date, the 22nd?
Well, I think he was thinking we would talk about the date then, but I guess if you want to.
I thought the consensus was for selecting the two citizens on the.
It would be helpful to know whether the 22nd is a problem for our council.
Would you like that to know tonight?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Obviously, the mayor's not here now.
I'm available on the 22nd.
So am I.
Dave?
I might not be, but I think I'm a proponent of going forward this whole thing, so I don't need to be there. I think the people that are worried about it more should be there. But
great. We'll vote by proxy. Thank you.
That's fine. looks here for Brian.
Yeah. No, he said yeah.
Oh, okay.
He said, I'm pretty sure he said yeah.
Yes.
Okay. City attorney's agenda. We don't have anything at the time. On the city council agenda, there's an item that we're talking about, request to provide additional funding for more members of the Planning Commission to attend the annual League of California Cities Planners Institute in the fiscal year 05 budget. I had asked that this item be put on here. I have been approached by several members of the Planning Commission, and I know times are tough economically, but we've got a group that is volunteering a significant amount of time for the betterment of this community. They get a minimal stipend, and they are dealing with potentially legal issues, and I think we really want to make sure that they are trained properly and they are up on current law. And just for example, you know, we've dealt with viewshed issues. We dealt with the issue on the corner of 10th and Grand. We've got the land use element potentially coming up and the housing element. And I'm sure everyone remembers how excruciating that meeting was. And I'm thinking that if there's a way in which we could say, I think traditionally you've sent maybe the newest member on the commission to this. If there's a way to provide additional funding for maybe half 1 year and then half the next, and if there's a way of sharing rooms and some other creative ways to do it, I'd like to see where everybody is on that.
Haven't we in the past sent some people, or I mean, haven't we had some money set aside?
I believe, Gail, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we've budgeted two a year.
Have they all taken advantage of that, or how has that worked out in last year? So, also, I don't think we have a stipend for the planning commissioners.
That's what I was thinking. What's that minimal stipend?
So, well, really okay, minimal. I could go zero. No stipend.
Yeah, so there isn't candy. A stipend. I just want to make sure that candy. People out there,
jeez,
everybody's aware of that.
I tell you.
I believe last year, due to some savings in other areas, they were able to send more members to the, I'm not sure if this is the Planning Commission Institute that's put on by the league.
Yes, it is.
And for some reason, I believe all five went.
Oh, okay.
Last year. It was either four or five.
Okay.
Can we get some figures on that in the future here and then see where we're at and who hasn't been? And I don't know that it's necessary for them to go each and every year. It seemed like every other year or something like that would be sufficient. I don't know what they really would learn from 1 year compared to the next. I mean, you know what I'm saying is like if somebody went this year, that I don't know that they're going to – if it's not the same program next year, or is it? Does anybody know?
I think that's – I don't know. I think that's good input to find out who's gone and kind of the history of that. And if there's a way to, let's say, send two, I think that would be great. With respect to ongoing training, I know that the Central Coast Section of the American Planning Association is, in fact, trying to put together a joint workshop for the planning commissioners in all of the in San Luis County cities and Santa Maria and others in our region. So there are other local opportunities to get them trained as well. So I think that's good input.
You know, and I totally agree with you, John, that I think that these people are volunteering their time, and I think that we could, at the minimum, do something this nice for them or nice for our community also, because the more educated they are, the better they're going to be able to serve the community, and the more fair I think that things will work out for everyone, because I think a lot of times people really don't know what their roles are, whether they're on the Planning Commission or the Grover Beautiful or Parks Commission, until they've actually gone through some of these training exercises to really tell them what their role is. Many times I think people on these commissions actually do things that are of their own volition or their own feeling, when that's not really their job. Their job is to really look at what's you know, what's presented to them and make make sure that everything is in the proper form, not necessarily go out on a limb and say, well, you know, I don't think that I just, let's say the Planning Commission alone, I don't like the color of that household. You know, that's not really what their job is, you know, and I think that's where they learn these things. So good job, John. I think it's appropriate.
Great, I would agree with that.
John, I'll try to get information for the council also as to who's attended. I'll work with Susan on that.
Great, thank you. Do we have consensus on that?
Yes.
Great. Okay. Let's see, we're moving to public communications. Anyone interested in addressing the council? I guess we don't have anyone, so we're going to bring it back to the council. Council communications, anyone else have anything to add?
Yes.
I've been quiet all night, so I just thought I'd, you know, start waking up now. One of the last items we dealt with was the Parks and Recs element, and we gave that contract to Firma. And I believe Firma was, as a matter of fact, it was in the staff report, Firma was involved in the beach boardwalk project. And I saw David Foote this weekend, and prior to that, I had taken a little trip to the boardwalk, and I hope that you all get a chance to do that, because some of the boardwalk is down at this time. They're working on the elevated part now. The part in Pismo has been stamped, and the concrete's there. Some of the DGs laid down between Pismo and Grover, and it's a nice little walk, and it was a good walk this weekend. So I think, you know, if you get a chance, go down there. It's in process anyway.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Ron. Anything else?
Oh, I had something.
You have something?
Yeah. I think we missed a great opportunity just a few minutes ago. And I'm sorry I was so late on it. we got a presentation on a great year in the police department from the police chief, and he gets the blame when something goes wrong. He should get the credit when the things are going right. And I think we should have got a real big attaboy for our police chief for a wonderful year. He said he was very proud of it. It was a banner year, you might say, as far as the direction that we're going in. And we just kind of accepted it and moved on. And I'm sorry I didn't speak up sooner, but I would like to congratulate the chief now on a great year. And it has to be through leadership that things are accomplished like that. So good job.
Thank you, Dave. Better late than never. So,
yeah, I should have done it right then. I just too slow.
Well, I've been giving you guys two bites at the apple tonight, you know.
Well, okay. Dave, I think I'll chime in because I think you're exactly right. When things aren't going right, then that's when, you know, people get their day in the sun or their 15 minutes of fame. And now that things are going good, we kind of just shrug our shoulders and go, oh, that's the way it should be going.
Yeah,
you know, hey, what, you know, it should be. So I agree with you. You know, good job for the whole police department, not just the chief, but our whole, everyone that's on our department's working hard. And nice job.
Ditto. Nice job.
And I'm still, my hand's still up to volunteer for the decoy program. I have a real problem with that. So yeah, I carry some rocks in my pocket.
Well, if you're as good at volunteering for that as you guys are putting on, you know, I've been waiting for this barbecue that was out there some time ago. Whatever happened to that barbecue?
Yeah, I think it had a 12-month expiration.
And what was your bid? Oh, yeah, it was zero. Moving right along.
Anyway.
Go back to sleep.
I bid $10, but I, you know. What's happened to this barbecue?
The caffeine's kicking in. Okay, so.
I would be happy to take back to the police department your commendations or applause. For a job well done.
Great. Thank you, Chief. Okay. It is the intention of this city council to meet in closed session concerning the following item, conference with legal counsel pending litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 549569A, Diamond versus City of Grover Beach. With that, can I have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So moved.
Do we really have to?
A second.
Yeah, you can sit here wide awake.
We're adjourned.